Good morning. Would you turn with me, please, to Paul's letter, first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, and we'll begin to read at verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, but are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Shall we pray? We thank thee for thy word, O Lord, as we have opened it and read it. We do ask now that thou wouldst speak by thy Holy Spirit. We thank thee for thy promise that thy word shall not return unto thee void, but shall accomplish the purpose whereunto it is sent. Accomplish thy purpose, O Lord, therefore we pray, through thy word, in Jesus' name. The Apostle Paul is here commending suffering believers. The believers in Thessalonica had suffered many things, both by their own people and by the Jews. These same Jews who had killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets. And now they were setting about to do the same thing to the Church of God. And it is particularly at these Jews that I would like to look, for they furnish us with an example that is needful for us today. It was said of these Jews that they forbid Paul to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. I'd like firstly to look at the effect of the wickedness of these Jews. The effect was to fill up to full measure their sin. Secondly, we'd like to look at the punishment for the wickedness of these Jews. The punishment was that the wrath, notice the definite article, the wrath, would come upon them to the uttermost. Now there is a connection between the measure of their sin and the measure of their punishment. And in the first instance, for these Jews, we might look at this wrath in respect to their nation. There is a national aspect to this. 20 years or so after that Paul spoke this, there came an utter destruction upon the state of Israel. In 70, Titus marched upon Jerusalem and set it to fire and the sword. And the Jewish nation was destroyed, utterly destroyed. And the Jewish people were cast into the wind to wander like blown leaves throughout the world, for many, many years. Wrath had come unto them to the uttermost. Their nation was destroyed. Their land was taken from them. But there is also a personal aspect to this. For those that sin, whether they be Jew or Gentile, they die in their sins, there comes a time when wrath will come upon them to the uttermost. Now, I know not what God has in mind for this country. It may be that we will enjoy the prosperity that we have now for many, many years. It may be that the Lord will be pleased to visit us with disaster. I am not a prophet, neither the son of a prophet. I know not what God has in store for this Bahamas, although I will say, if the people of the Bahamas continue to reject God, there will come punishment. But this one thing I know, for those individuals who continue in sin, there will come a time when wrath will come upon them to the uttermost. This is assured us by the Word of God. It is a certain thing. Scripture is very specific. And Paul says here, the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. There are those that think that God is altogether such a one as himself, and he has no control over things that will be. But God is in control. And God speaks of things yet future as if they were in the present. Indeed, he speaks of things yet future as though they had already happened. The wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. This is a certain thing. And if you continue in your sin, and you die in your sin, then certainly wrath will come upon you to the uttermost. The sense of this word is come is the sense of being at hand, of being very near. And certainly in the national sense, this was true. The handwriting was already upon the wall. They were already occupied by Rome. And in a few short years, their nationality was no more. Wrath is come upon you to the uttermost. But the same is true for the natural man. Wrath is at hand. It is almost as if it sits in the seat next to you. Because sentence has already been passed. The Word of God is clear. When those who continue in sin shall have filled up the measure of their sin, God's wrath shall come upon them to the uttermost. The Lord Jesus told the Jews himself, "You have killed the prophets and stoned them. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers." When he spoke that, the measure was not full. A few short years later, when Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, the measure was almost full. And Paul could say, the wrath is come. When those who continue in sin shall have filled up their measure, God's wrath shall come upon them, and that to the uttermost. Not all have the same measure. Paul speaks in another place of vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. And it is in the nature of vessels to have some smaller, some larger, some one shape, some another. Not every man's measure, and it is God who measures, not every man's measure is alike. It is of no use to you to think I have not sinned as much as this next person. God's measure is for you and for you alone. Not all have the same punishment. There shall be some that are beaten with many stripes, some that shall be beaten with relatively few stripes. There is a relationship between the measure of sin and the punishment of sin. And it is God who both measures and punishes. And this punishment does not come at the same time for all individuals. When the Lord was speaking to Abraham and telling him about his progeny, his seed to come, he told him back in Genesis 15 that he would be the father of a great nation and that they would go into captivity. And after that captivity, they would come into the promised land. He says, for the sins of the Amorites are not yet full. Hundreds of years before the nation of Israel entered into the promised land and completely destroyed the Amorites, God was watching them. And he spoke of things yet future as certain. God knew that in the course of time the Israelites would come and take from the Amorites their country when the Amorites' sin was full. God is not asleep. God is not asleep. And because you do not see punishment fall in this present time, does not mean it will not come. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the children of men is fully set in them to do evil. Solomon said. And as we look around, we see that there are men and women in this world that are very wicked. One wonders, where is God? It may be that God, knowing the measure of their sin, has allowed them the freedom to become very wicked so that they fill up their measure all way, and more quickly they hasten to their end. We look and we see people who have become very old in sin, practiced in it. They fill up their sins all way. We see people that are very wealthy. People that are well respected. People that, who are sinners in positions of prominence. And it may be that God has allowed them this position, that it may become a snare to them, that they may fill up their sins. Always. And that the measure of their sins may become full. And then, wrath will come upon them, and that to the uttermost. For you see, everything that the natural man does only adds to his measure. As he goes about his daily work, everything he does at work only adds to the measure of sin that he is treasuring up against that day when wrath will come upon him. At play, he adds to this measure. During his very sleep, he adds to this measure. And if so be that he prays, his very prayer will add to the measure of sin. If he attends a place of worship, that very act will add to the measure of his sin. He may think that in doing these things he may pay for past sins. But the scripture is clear. Paul says in the letter to the Romans, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Everything that the natural man does only hastens him toward that wrath. Now it may be sometimes that judgment will fall in life upon the natural man. God may allow judgment to fall outwardly in their life by circumstances. We think of Sodom. Think of Gomorrah. We think of the flood where God rained judgment down. In one instance by fire, the other by water. God judged them. The measure of their sin was full. It may be inwardly, by conscience. They say that Stalin, Joseph Stalin, leader of Russia for so many years, that great wicked man, died crawling on his hands and knees, barking like a dog. It is said that Voltaire, that great French infidel, who said that in 50 years the Bible would be wiped from the face of the earth, died very badly. And the nurse that cared for him during his last dying week vowed she would never again nurse a dying unbeliever. And it may be that judgment may fall in this life upon those that continue in sin, so as to be intolerable. But these are only forerunners. These are but a foretaste of that wrath which shall come upon them to the uttermost. God in this life always holds back. He never releases his full wrath here. He never allows the full weight of his arm to fall here. That is for the afterlife. When a person dies and goes out of this life without Christ, then wrath shall come upon them to the uttermost. when that wrath comes, it will be without moderation. There will be no limit to it. Here God limits his judgment. But there is no moderation. And the full fierceness of God's anger will visit them. When wrath to the uttermost comes, it will come without alleviation. There will be no end. When we suffer in this life, it may be that by degrees things get better, and we may even look to death for relief. But at that time, there will be no end. When wrath to the uttermost comes, it will come without pity. There will be no mercy. God, in his mercy now, when judgment falls, it is always with the intent to allow the sinner to see the error of his way and to repent and be saved. But then, the intent will be the utter destruction of the sinner. There will be no mercy, no pity. When this wrath comes to the uttermost, it will be without patience. There will be no opportunity to plead with God for mercy. His patience will have been exhausted. Terrible thing to exhaust the patience of God. When this wrath to the uttermost comes upon the sinner that continues in sin, it will come without warning. There will be no escape. When this wrath comes, it will be without comfort or support. There will be no hope. When Dante wrote his Inferno, he said, he wrote across the entrance, "Abandon all hope, all ye that enter here." And so it will be when wrath comes to the uttermost. Upon the sinner that continues in sin, there will be no hope. This wrath is eternal in its duration. What is longer than eternity? This wrath is infinite in its degree. What is larger than infinity? Consider, O sinner, the awful consequences of inviting wrath to the uttermost upon yourself. And consider now the advantages that you have, even right now, this very moment, here in this place, in the house of God. You have no temptation to immorality here. On the contrary, you look around you, you may see any number of good Christian examples, people who are living for Christ. There is no vain or empty conversation going on at the moment that may distract you. Contrary, you are hearing the gospel. There's no bad company here to lead you astray. In fact, right now, at this very moment, Christians all over this room are praying for your soul. And yet, you continue in sin. You have been warned from childhood, when in simplicity you first heard the gospel, and the sweet name of Jesus was first brought to your ears. And on through adulthood you were warned, when you grew to the age of understanding. These warnings have come and gone, and yet you continue in your sin. You may have had notable warnings, unmistakable warnings. It may be that death has come close to you. Your loved ones, people you knew, have gone out of this life. The warning was there. Maybe you have been warned by sickness, your loved ones, and maybe yourself may have been very sick. It may be that you, perchance, have just only missed by accident heading out of this life to meet that wrath. You have heard some of the greatest gospel preachers the world has known. You have seen people who have lived godly lives. And yet, you continue in your sin. The Spirit of God has spoken to you and awakened fear within your heart. The Son of God has entreated you to awaken within your breast love for Him. The servants of God have pled with you with tears to flee from the wrath to come, and yet you continue in sin. Consider, O sinner, whose wrath it is. This wrath that will come without pity, without moderation, without mercy, this wrath that comes to the uttermost. This is the wrath of the Maker of heaven and earth, of He who made the sea and the dry land, who spake and it was so, who commanded and it stood fast. It is His wrath. It is the wrath of Him whom no man may see and live. And if you continue in sin, you will see Him, but you will not live. Eternal life is for those that accept Christ. Eternal death is the only other option. Consider whose wrath it is. He who holds in His hand your very breath. And yet, you continue in sin. Consider, O sinner, the foretaste of this wrath. It may be that you will fill up sufficient measure in this life for God to judge you in circumstances. You may come to the point where you say, like Cain, my punishment is greater than I can bear. It may be that God may visit you with a foretaste of His wrath in your conscience. You only know the sleepless nights, the great loneliness, the great emptiness and void that fills your life, because you know this wrath will come upon you. You are without Christ. God may call upon nature itself to judge you. have only just missed very great devastation in the hurricane that passed by. God is in control. And any and all of these things he may use to judge you for your sin. Psalm 2, the writer says we should kiss the Son when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And that is how it is just now. His wrath is kindled against you, but just a little. The full weight and fierceness of the anger of Almighty God has not come upon you yet. The Lord Jesus said that, speaking of himself, as the stone, that all who fell upon that stone would be broken. But upon whomsoever that stone shall fall, it shall grind him into powder. You cannot stop the weight of Almighty God's wrath falling upon you any more than a worm could uphold a mountain, but will be ground inexorably underfoot when wrath comes upon you to the uttermost. We beg of you to flee from this wrath to come. You've been told of the narrow way, the straight gate. You've been told that now is the accepted time. You've been told of the wrath to come. And yet, you continue in sin. Flee from the wrath to come. The sinners in Noah's day were warned for 120 years to flee from the wrath to come. Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives were the only ones that took refuge in the ark. We beg of you, we plead with you this morning to flee to the ark of safety. Flee to Christ. There is one other verse that I would like to read to you. It's found in Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore he, that is the Lord Jesus, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The choice is presented to you this morning. Wrath to the uttermost, which is your birthright, or salvation to the uttermost, which can also be your birthright. You may be born into the family of God. Be saved to the uttermost. I would venture to say that all who are here have heard how to get saved. You know you repent of your sins. Ask the Lord to save you. Bow the knee to Him. I only repeat it here. But you know and have heard from childhood how to be saved. My burden this morning is to convince you that you need to be saved. When those that continue in sin have filled up the measure of their sin, then wrath shall come upon them to the uttermost. O sinner, flee this wrath. Come to the Savior now, while there is yet time. Shall we pray? O Lord, we ask that Thou would speak, and speak mightily. Speak indeed with the voice that raises the dead, and make Thy people hear. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen.
Would like to sing one or two verses of a hymn as we close. Number 347. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast. The fatal line be passed. Be in time. Time is gliding swiftly by. Death and judgment draweth nigh. To the arms of Jesus fly. Be in time. Oh, I pray you count the cost ere the fatal line be crossed. Your soul in hell be lost. Be in time. The first and the third verses, number 347.